Welcome to Test All Things. Test All Things is an outreach of Tower to Truth Ministries, and I'm your host, Fran Sankey. You can find us on the web at www.towertotruth.net. Test All Things is taken from 1 Thessalonians 5:21, which says, "Test all things. Hold fast what is good." It's a Bible discernment evangelistic program dedicated to creating an awareness of and biblical answers to false religious teachings opposing Christianity, especially in the area of the kingdom of the cults. Well, Christmas is fast approaching, and it's no doubt the most popular holiday of the year. Economically, it's a time when retailers anticipate much of their cash flow, the postal service is working overtime, and the local grocery store is selling ham and turkeys by the truckload. Socially, it's a time when families visit one another, gifts are exchanged, and even mean people act nice for a day or two. You may even know one. Most importantly, though, religiously, it's a time when many Christians celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, into the world. But Christmas is a celebration that Christians are divided over. Some say it's full of greed, selfishness, and licentiousness, and avoid it at all costs, while others jump into the festivities raring to go. But some more informed Christians, aware of the origins of the day, declare that it's a pagan holiday and want nothing to do with it. Others who are privy to this information are not sure how to celebrate it, if at all. So let's take a look at some of the background of the day and try to decide for ourselves how we should view the modern celebration called Christmas. First, when was Jesus born? Well, the date of Jesus' birth is unknown to us. We know when he died, but we don't know when he was born, although December 25th is almost definitely incorrect. It's easy to know the date of his death and resurrection because we're told that he was crucified during Passover. Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread were celebrated by the Jews beginning on the 14th day of their first month, which corresponds to our calendar in March or April. Hey, if you have to know the date of either Jesus' birth or his death, pick his death. After all, the purpose of his coming was to die for us and rise again, which is the core of the gospel message. But the timing of Jesus' birthday is a bit trickier. Some scholars speculate a September-October date as a likely date for Jesus' birth because Luke 2:8 mentions shepherds living out in the fields. Well, why is that significant? Well, November was apparently the last month that sheep could be left out in the fields due to the harshness of December's weather. Also, December would have been a cruel month to make people travel back to their hometown to register in the Roman census, as Mary and Joseph did. Well, if December 25th wasn't the date of Jesus' birth, why then do we celebrate it then? Well, the Encyclopedia Encarta says that Roman Catholics first celebrated Christmas, then known as the Feast of the Nativity, as early as 336 A.D. The word Christmas entered the English language sometime around 1050 A.D. Most scholars believe that Christmas originated in the 4th century as a Christian substitute for pagan celebrations of the winter solstice. Before the introduction of Christmas, each year beginning on December 17th, Romans honored Saturn, the ancient god of agriculture, in a feast called Saturnalia. This feast lasted for 7 days and included the winter solstice, which usually occurred around December 25th on the ancient Julian calendar. During Saturnalia, the Romans feasted, postponed all business and warfare, I like that, exchanged gifts, and temporarily freed their slaves. Many Romans also celebrated the winter solstice by participating in rituals to glorify Mithra, the Persian god of light. The Roman Catholic Church, during the reign of Emperor Constantine, chose December 25th as the day for the Feast of the Nativity, which is the old name for Christmas, in order to give Christian meaning to existing pagan rituals. For example, the Church replaced festivities honoring the birth of Mithra, the god of light, with festivities to commemorate the birth of Jesus, who the Bible calls the light of the world. By doing this, the Catholic Church hoped to draw pagans into its religion by allowing them to continue their revelry while simultaneously honoring the birthday of Jesus. Well, it doesn't sound so good at first, does it? But look at what ended up happening. Christianity and its attempt to counter the pagan holiday of Saturnalia victoriously succeeded in stamping out the celebration entirely. The day was eventually won over by Christianity, and basically no one today celebrates Saturnalia except for maybe a fringe group of pagans here and there. If you don't believe me, go to the mall. See how many Merry Saturnalia cards you can find. I bet you'd be hard-pressed to find just one. You know, it's not a Hallmark classic. So Saturnalia and its worship of Mithra, the pagan god of light, were crushed by the worship of Jesus Christ, the true God of light. And I say praise the Lord. How about some common objections to the celebration of Christmas? Well, number one, Jesus wasn't born on December 25th. As I already mentioned, Jesus probably wasn't born in December, but most likely September or October. December 25th more accurately represents the time of the conception of Christ rather than his birth. But Christians believe that both the conception of Christ in a virgin, as well as his miraculous birth, were key events. Furthermore, since Christians believe that life starts at conception, December is the perfect time to celebrate the gift of God's Son to us. Also remember, during Christmas, Christians aren't so much celebrating a day, but an event. The day of Jesus' birth isn't the important thing. What's important and what we celebrate is the incarnation of deity into the world, the most important event ever to occur. Think about it. God, the second person of the Trinity, humbled himself, emptied himself of his privileges, and became a man so that he could live a perfect and sinless life in our place, pay the eternal penalty for our sins on the cross, rise from the dead, forgive us, impute to us his righteousness, and be our everlasting mediator to the Father. You know, lots of people celebrate events far less important than that, and if you can give me one better than that, I am all ears. How about objection number two? Christmas has pagan roots. Well, this is an easy one. If having any pagan roots at all means that we must abstain, we wonder how one can use the Gregorian calendar whose months are named after pagan gods. For example, January is derived from Janus, the Roman god of gates and doors. They had a god for everything back then. March is named after Mars, the god of war. All the days of the week are also named after pagan gods, too. How about objection number three? God never commanded us to observe the birth of Jesus. Well, if you look at the flip side, God never commanded us not to observe the birth of Jesus Christ. Although celebrating Christmas is next to a mortal sin by some groups such as the Jehovah's Witnesses, God's instruction to us about whether or not to celebrate the day is silent. There's no "thou shalt not celebrate my son's birth" anywhere in my Bible. On top of that, did you know that in addition to the seven feast days that God commanded Israel to observe, named in Leviticus 23, the Jews chose their own holidays to celebrate without Jehovah's permission? Yep. To name them, they're Purim and Hanukkah. Purim is the feast that came from the book of Esther, the Jews being thankful that God preserved them from annihilation at the hands of their enemy Haman in ancient Persia, chose for themselves to celebrate the 14th and 15th days of the month of Adar and called it Purim, a holiday that it says should never cease to be celebrated. It was celebrated by feasting and giving gifts. Sound familiar? Jesus himself as a Jew would have also celebrated this feast, again, a feast not commanded by God. Hanukkah is a holiday that comes from the apocryphal book of 1 Maccabees. It celebrates the rededication of the temple after it was taken over and desecrated by Antiochus Epiphanes in the 2nd century B.C. In fact, it's mentioned in John's Gospel in chapter 10, where it's called the Feast of Dedication. Jesus, as a Jew, would have celebrated this feast also. To me, Romans 14, 5 and 6 says it all regarding the freedom we have to observe or not to observe Christmas. It says, quote, "One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord, and he who does not observe the day, to the Lord he does not observe it." The key is, if you celebrate it, Be convinced it's okay in your own mind and celebrate it to the Lord, not to man. Do you celebrate Christmas as an excuse for indulgence, greed, and sinful behavior? Or do you celebrate it with thanksgiving to God for the precious gift of His Son? Did you know that Christmas time is a great time to evangelize? Do you take advantage of the day as a vehicle to share the love of Christ with others? Or do you fit right in with the unbelievers? Christmas is a wonderful time of the year to evangelize the lost because some are more open to hearing about the things of Christ during this time. Sending gospel tracts and Christmas cards is a great way to evangelize. Joey Hancock of the American Tract Society said, 53% of all who come to Christ worldwide come through the use of printed gospel literature. Wow, 53%, that's a lot. In summary, Christians should make up their own mind as to whether or not to celebrate Christmas and or how to celebrate it. I know Christians on both sides of the fence with the issue. Remember, whatever way you decide to celebrate or not to celebrate, don't demandingly push your view on another brother or sister. According to God's Word, the one who celebrates is no better than the one who doesn't celebrate, as long as you're celebrating or abstaining to the Lord in good conscience. That's what's important. Keep in mind, though, that honoring Jesus Christ is good at any time of the year. It's not a 1 or 2 day annual event. Jesus deserves all honor and all praise all year long. John 5:23 says that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. Do you honor Jesus Christ? Have you experienced the new birth that is sung about and hark the herald angels sing? Listen to this. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Wow, I never caught that one before I was saved. Are you born again? Have you repented of your sins and made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? Are you a new creation in Christ? What a great time of the year to experience God's love to us and receive Jesus by faith today. If you would like a tape or CD of today's message called A Critique of Christmas, please send $3 to us along with a note saying which tape you want. Make it payable to Fran Sankey, that's S-A-N-K-E-Y, and send to P.O. Box 51, Morton, P.A., 19070. That's P.O. Box 51, Morton, P.A., 19070. Drop us an email also. Let us know how you like the show. It's important to me that I know people are out there listening. Our email is help@tower2truth.net. If you're near a phone, give me a call at 610-513-5525. That's 610-513-5525. Don't miss us again next week when we discuss part one of Disarming the Da Vinci Code. Whether or not you have read the book, this study will be insightful and helpful in equipping you to have an answer for your coworkers, friends, or family members who have read it. The claims made in this book are very dangerous to the Christian faith, and if you're a Christian, you need to be able to give a defense and debunk these heretical teachings. Or maybe you can request a copy of the program to give to somebody reading the book. The book is a number one bestseller, and I'm sure you know someone who has read it. Until next week, remember, don't just believe everything you hear, but test all things.